Hello, hello, folks. Hello, hello. Hopefully you can hear me. Good to see you this morning, folks. Welcome to Wealth Coffee Chats. Let me know in the chat if it's coming through loud and clear. Dave's there already, so good to see you, Dave. Welcome to a terrific Tuesday, folks. I hope you're rocking and rolling, getting ready for your day, or getting your momentum for the week. Do some quick intros while things are warming up out there. Morning, Luke. Morning, Sharon. Morning, Brad. Good to see the early birds up and at it as we go. For those who don't know, most of you do know already, but Jason Witten's my name. Been property investing well over 20 years, coaching and mentoring property investors as well. And along the way, done a few deals, learned a couple things, and each morning we hang out and have a coffee, Wealth Coffee Chat, and, pontificate, share our ideas, strategies, experiences with you guys out there in the world of property investing to make sure we go the distance, get this thing done when it comes to building our property portfolio and sorting out what's real and what's noise in the world of property investing. So if that sounds a bit like you, welcome along. If you're new, great to hear from you in the chat. Say hello. Make sure you subscribe and click buttons and get notifications and all those sorts of things, because we do this live every weekday at about 10 past 8, folks. So there you go. Put it in the calendar. Put it on the reminder. Do whatever. Make sure you get along. This morning I thought we might talk about a little something. I've had this question a few times about, you know, regional property investing, capital city property investing, and which is best. Now, I never like the answer. I never like the question, what's best? Because, you know, it all depends. There's sort of how long's a piece of string and these sorts of answers. But let's talk about some things today, and let's talk about some data and some stats and why, you know, most likely the best performer is the capital cities. Well, it is. However, for some of us, we might not be able to get in there, and, you know, because of price point, because of, you know, whatever it might be. And, you know, how do we navigate that as a property investor, you know, when we're starting out? You might not be able to go buy, you know, a $1.5 million house within 15K of the CBD, you know, that's going to be the best performer. No, like no doubt. However, can you do that? The answer is probably no, especially when you're starting out. So what do you do? So that's what we might talk about today. And starting out is not the right term. It's building your portfolio. And sometimes, just sometimes, you know, your buying power isn't that high. So let's talk about that today. But let's talk about some stats. You can't really see that, can you? And anyway, I thought it might be a bit clearer. However, I will read them out to you as you go. But let's have a look at this. I don't know if you can see this. I can't zoom in, unfortunately. But, you know, with some stats just recently showing the change in capital growth, maybe I'll stand in front of it and ask the question. What city grew the most since 2020, folks? Put that in the chat, see if you know. And what, as a whole, grew the most? As in, it's just, I'll put that over there. There we go. All right, here's some questions. All right, let's do this. Which city grew the most, and as in percentage-wise, and did you see it already? Units have done well. However, which location? The capital cities or the regions? Something like that. There's, you know, and those things are large and whatever, but be interesting to find out what is a region, you know, how do regions work. But anyway, let's have a little look at that. Perth and Adelaide. We've got Brisbane there from Allison. Brad's on Perth. Well, let's have a look. Let's have a look at the stats. Let's have a look at the data that. The winner, drum roll, please. when it comes to the capital growth percentage wise. You know, not all growth is made equal. So let's have a look at this. The regional areas grew, according to this data, 53%. 53%, folks, in the last 4 years, 2020 to 2024, or thereabouts. And the capital cities grew, and if you include national, is the winner by 0.9%, Radelaide. Radelaide just knocked Brisbane off its perch. Brisbane came in at 63%, and Perth, 57%, pretty good. Now, when you look at the big kahunas, the big cities, interestingly enough, the change in the bigger cities, Hobart was 36%, but Sydney, 34%, Darwin, 25%. Well, you know, we won't even talk about Darwin. Oh, let's undo that. There we go. And Melbourne, you know, by and large, 17%. Now, if you live in Melbourne, you've seen house prices do a lot more than that. So other things have stayed a bit, the damn internet connection. Anyway, there you go. So, you know, do we rush off and do we invest in the regions? Well, when you drill into it, folks, you know, the capital cities, a number of capital cities, Adelaide, Perth, Brisbane, have outperformed the regional areas and are much more secure, solid areas for future wealth and investing, folks. So, you know, for me, for you, would you rush off just because the stats say, you know, 53% compared to 35%? The answer is no, right? But when you have a look at it, let's drill into what is a region and what these things are, because regional areas, again, you can't see that very well, but I'll use this map. Instead of drawing a map today, here's one I prepared earlier. Might be a little bit easier to maneuver the conversation as we go along. But, you know, if you have a look at Sydney, Sydney's population is 5 million. Same with Melbourne. Brisbane's 2.6. Perth, 2.1. Adelaide, 1.3. You know, they're the big cities. They're the big populations. And when you are investing your portfolio, Sam has put together the idea that, you know, if you want to diversify and have a stable portfolio with stable growth and stable momentum, you know, exposure to the five cities, we call it the five city strategy, makes a lot of sense, right? So you've got, you know, Sydney or Melbourne or both, if you can get into those two big cities. Why would you invest in two big cities like Sydney and Melbourne? Well, you know, they've got employment power, they've got population size, they've got overseas immigration destinations, they've got student locations, they've got lots of things going for them, all right? Lots and lots of things going for them when it comes to those cities. So, you know, they're the big kahunas in Australia. If you can get a piece of, those two cities, then that's fantastic. Now, right now, we had a look back here just quickly. By and by, you know, Melbourne had, you know, a tough time through COVID, held it back. So Melbourne's got some ground to make up, folks. And still, the government down there are being absolute turkeys when it comes to, you know, the treatment of property investors and other bits and pieces. Land tax bills came out the other day. It's about another $900 for most property owners and property investors. Now, don't get your knickers in a knot, folks. You know, I've seen all these articles about people like selling. Oh, the world's ending, you know. Now, I get very annoyed when the government just does a grotty grab for cash and just rolls people, you know, like they're doing right now. Don't get me wrong. That's absolutely annoying. But it's not enough, folks. It's not enough to go and sell your property and get out of Melbourne. I think that's dumb and stupid. And it just shows what I call the good time Charlies, who shouldn't be investing in the first place. If they carry on like a pork chop for a $900 bill, when we're talking about, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars of wealth into the future. It makes no sense. Anyway, that's not my conversation today, right? Chris, no. Kalgoorlie, back in the day, tell you a quick story. I made $1 million in Kalgoorlie. I built 13 townhouses in Kalgoorlie in 2006. There you go. I bought a piece of land in Kalgoorlie. I got a development approval. I built it and I sold it. Should have kept it. And I never visited. I actually just visited only recently, last year in 2023, the first time I ever physically visited Kalgoorlie. But no, I wouldn't put Kalgoorlie on the list right now personally when it comes to where I would invest, because some of those locations are reasonably volatile when it comes to their employment, okay? So, you know, that's the sort of thing. So what is a regional, folks? And you can't really see it here, but I'll read out the list, which are sort of close regionals when it comes to the regional places. Now, places like the Gold Coast, Newcastle, Sunshine Coast, Wollongong, Geelong, Townsville, Cairns, Toowoomba, Ballarat, Bendigo, Albury, Wodonga, you know, Launceston, Mackay, Rockhampton, Bunbury, Coffs Harbour, Bundaberg, Hervey Bay, Wagga, Shepparton, Mildura, Port Macquarie. Like, those sorts of towns are what we call, you know, the regionals. And, you know, from Port Macquarie up to Gold Coast, you know, 50,000 people in Port Macquarie, Gold Coast and Newcastle, you know, 700,000 to 500,000, or probably a little bit more these days, because that is 2022. So, you know, probably a couple more years of population. What does it all mean when it comes to should I invest in the regionals? Well, what's the pros and what's the cons of a regional town versus a city? Number one, certainly you can get some price point benefits in those towns. Now, you used to be able to go to like the Gold Coast or Newcastle or Sunny Coast or Wollongong or Geelong, and you would get, you know, a house, you know, maybe $150,000 less expensive than in the capital cities or closer to the capital city. Now, right now, that's not the case. Folks, you know, these regional locations are now priced fully in comparison to the capital cities. Matter of fact, many of the capital cities, two of my favorites at the moment, which are Melbourne and Brisbane for a house and land, folks, a house and land, Melbourne and Brisbane. Melbourne's the best price point in Australia for house and land on the East Coast, ignoring Adelaide. I don't mean to ignore Adelaide, but I'm going to ignore Adelaide. And Perth, you can get into, you know, house and land in Melbourne for, you know, 600 to 650, you know, Brisbane sort of 650 to 750, but, you know, those ones are quite well value. If you try and go to a location which is like regional, you won't beat those prices. So right now you've got to keep an eye on your rationale. You know, if I go to the, you know, go out to the regionals, it's actually not that much less expensive, if less expensive at all, when it comes to purchasing good quality newer property. Secondhand old pieces of rubbish, well, that's not our cup of tea anyway, right? So price point, you know, sometimes while you go to the regionals, you know, rental yield is often an attractive reason why you'd go to a regional. Again, the rents in the capital cities are going very, very strong. Matter of fact, you know, many of the capital cities now are out renting dollar for dollar the regional locations, folks. So, you know, sometimes you might chase a bit of rental yield, but, you know, you might sacrifice a bit of cash flow and those sorts of things out there. But, you know, those two are really the reasons why I've seen people go to the regions, and right now they're not making a lot of sense. So for me, I wouldn't be looking in those places. Now, if you talk about places like the Gold Coast, Newcastle, Sunny Coast, maybe Wollongong and Geelong, I would probably, well, I would include them right now. I would include them in extensions of the cities that they're connected to. Okay, I would include them. So I would include the Gold Coast and the Sunshine Coast in Southeast Queensland, Brisbane, and probably not Toowoomba. No, I wouldn't do Toowoomba, but it's up there. It's close. So those cities are now expanded into, you know, mega cities, really, at the end of the day. So some of those locations really are being folded in, right, as we go. But at the end of the day, this location, they're the three hot to trot spots right now. You know, you've got Southeast Queensland, you've got Melbourne, Greater Melbourne, and you've got Perth, really three different markets doing three different things. And so think about that when you're having a look. There's no reason to run off the regionals, when you can get very good property prices and price points closer to the cities. Anyway, that makes sense. Conversation about that. A few people have asked me about regional versus city. And for my money, I'd stick with the major cities or closer to them when it comes to investing. Anyway, there you go, folks. Wealth Coffee Chat done and dusted for today. Join me again tomorrow. Well, actually, don't join me. Join Cass, who's going to be on tomorrow. And he's going to be talking about property management and all the things that you need to know for understanding property management. So Cass is going to be back tomorrow. And then Brad is coming in on Friday, as we're doing now, getting the team to show their skills and teach you about the nitty-gritty of certain bits and pieces when it comes to property investing. All right, folks, that's it from me. Like I said, join me again tomorrow. Not me, but Cass tomorrow for another show. Until then, folks, take care. Bye for now. That's it. Adios. See ya.